You were made to be loved of your Father on a daily basis. The Lord Jesus died not just to save you. He died to bring you into the presence of the Father. So you could know His joy. You could understand His joy. In fact, I want you to go to John 14. When we're in prayer, we want the Father to come to us. We want the Lord to come to us. And He'll do that because He loves you, but that's not really the way He set it up. The way He set it up is you go to where He is. And there's a pathway into the Father. And that's why I want to share with you that pathway. Because you first got to learn to get through the door. And we've talked about the door. And then we talked about the throne of grace. A lot of times you've got to stop in. Now, really, all of that is grace. I get all that. It's all administrative throne. But that first part of the throne of grace is forgiveness. There's mercy. You're not going to walk this perfectly. I'm not going to walk it perfectly. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to come out of the love of the Father, and the enemy's going to be there. And you'll go from love all of a sudden to the old man just like that. And you're going like, what just happened? Being in the love of the Father, don't think you're just going to be perfect, but you will be perfected. Just because you've been in the love of the Father, you come back and you get in the flesh. Don't be so hard on yourself. God is going to perfect you in that love. It's not a one-time thing. You're going to go there every day. But the burning glory that it leaves in you, the wholeness that it leaves you, the joy, the fullness, the life that it leaves you with, the pureness of it that it leaves you, you just want to go back. And I want to teach you how to get back in there daily, because I am totally convinced if God's people can move into the fullness of His love on a daily basis, that's how we're going to go from glory to glory, and that's how we're going to inherit everything in there. The glory realm, we're going to inherit the kingdom, all those 12 inheritances around that wheel, all that's ours, amen? And one of the things I want to say about that is there have been different times that God would be teaching different things. He'd be teaching us a Mount Hebron inheritance. And then He teaches on apostolic government and the lamps. And then He'd be teaching us how to enter in the door. Then He teaches into the Father's love. Then He'd be teaching us abiding in Christ and teaching you about the glory. But you don't get to control the Holy Spirit. He's building the map over the last 5 years. He's building this part. Then we'd get going down there, and all of a sudden we'd be rolling, rolling, rolling. He'd just shift the gear. And then we're rolling, 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 rolling over here. And then He shifts the gear. And it's like, hey, I get that too, but I just roll with Him. But if you learn how to enter into the living doorway, and you learn how to make transition in the throne of grace, and you learn the rest, phenomenal place, the rest sets you up for everything. You don't learn how to enter into the rest on a daily basis, you're not going to consistently be able to move in the kingdom, because the kingdom moves by the rest. It moves by peace, and it moves by harmony. If you're going to move there, it says, in Him we live, we move, and have our being. If you're going to progress, advance, and increase, and expand into the glory of God, you're going to have to understand how to move into the rest. Amen. And then the rest leads you into union with Christ. The Lord's mission is to get you to the Father. He wants you with the Father. Amen. It's our inheritance. I remember reading in Rick Jerwin's book when the people climb up the mountain, you know, and they get finally up to the end of the mountain, and they come into that place, and it was the Father's love, and they got caught up in it, and they didn't want to leave. I mean, you couldn't peel them out of the place. They've been fighting and warring forever. And then finally they get to the top of the mountain, and it's just wonderful, glorious place, and called the Father's love at the top of the mountain. And the Lord said, now you got to go back down and help all the brethren down there. And they're like, I don't want to go back down. I want to stay right here. But one of the things He said to him, because this was a living encounter He had, He said, this place, once you reach it, it's always yours. And you can come here as much as you want. Now, that's what I'm experiencing now. But if you're going to experience it, now the Father's love, by the way, is going to set you up to receive from heaven, because faith worketh by love. This love will open everything in you to the kingdom. It'll open the kingdom you. It'll open up your inheritance, and it'll open your gates coming out too. The love of the Father is just intense. Glory be to God forever. Taste and see the Lord is good. Verse 27, you're going to like this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's abundance of his peace administered in the rest. He said something very interesting here in verse 28. He says, you've heard how I said unto you, I go away. He started that in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 10, chapter 12. Now he's in chapter 14, saying it again. He goes, you've heard I said that I go away and I come again unto you. You hear me keep telling you I have to go away. Now listen to what he says. If you love me, say it, I love him. Imagine if you were his disciple when he says this to you. You know, he's their whole world. They're following him. He's telling them they have to leave. He's not just, this is not the first time he's telling them. He's been telling them, I've got to go away. Now imagine if you're his disciple and says, I got to go. And he says, I got to go. How's that going to make you feel? And he says, if you love me, you would rejoice because I go unto the Father, for the Father's greater than I. I'm like, why would that make me happy? If I was a disciple and he's telling me and he's got to go, he said, if you love me, you rejoice because I got to go because the Father's greater than I. You would rejoice. Really? Why don't I just stop right here and just start praising God that you're leaving right now? I mean, why would he say that to them? You said you would rejoice if you loved me to know. It's not like that. He says, if you love me, if you love what you and I have, he goes, you would rejoice right now because I'm going away to the Father, but I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to bring you to him. And when I bring you to him, if you think what you and I have is something, where do I introduce you to him? Because I'm going to bring you into a state of oneness with him. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back and get you. We're both going to ascend together. That's not just when you get to heaven. That's when you were born again. Your spirit ascended with Christ, sat down at the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to introduce you to my joy. I'm going to introduce you because the Father's greater than I. I want to bring you into his presence. I want to bring you into his love. I want to bring you into his glory. I want to bring you into what I have with him. What I have with him, I'm going to freely give to you. And you're going to sit where I sit. And you're going to experience what I experience. And you're going to know him the way I know him. And you're going to be loved of him the way he's loved of me. The way he's loved me, he's going to love you. And that's the heart of the gospel. The Lord come to get us. Broken humanity. I don't know why he loves us so much. I think God's going to really miss something when the end of the age comes. Because I think God, the Father, his greatest joy is taking the most broken of humanity, rescuing them, saving them through his son, and bringing them into his love. I think that just does it for him. If you really want to know what does it for the Father, he likes to take the most broken and raise them up in his love. And when the end of the age comes, he's not going to be able to do that no more. And I think even at the cost of the world that's been darkened and millions of people going to hell, he's still looking for that extra one, that one more person that he can take and love them. And bring them up into his love. And bring them up into his glory. He gets a kick out of it. He gets more joy out of it than you do. I don't know how possible he can do that because it's just amazing. I don't know how he contains himself. The way he contains himself is he invites you and I up to contain it with him. When you can get in there and your faith can triumph on a daily basis and learn how to move through the door and learn the rest of God and learn how to abide in Christ. See, you got to come to the Father. You got to come to him through the Son. And you have to honor the Son. And when you learn to move in the Son and honor the Son and come in union with the Son, the Lord's automatically going to introduce you to the Father. That's why he came. So from union in Christ is automatically going to result in worship in spirit. Amen. One other one I want you to see is John 17. Do you know people are looking for this and their approach to God? They're trying to find that inroad because they've tasted it already and they're wanting to hit it. And most people, when they hit it by an invitation of grace a lot of times. He'll give you, how many times God come to you and he'll love you, give you a taste, amen? That taste is designed to get you moving towards him. But then they don't know how to get in there consistently, and it frustrates people because they've tasted and their heart's burning for that place and they're trying to fast their way in there. All these kind of things they're doing, but there's a pathway. And I've discovered it. You know, because it's happening every day. Even when I'm not perfect. He's the one that's going to perfect you. Where do you think you're going to get perfect at? You think you're going to get perfect to stand in the presence of the perfect one? He perfects you there. He perfects you. Throwing a grace, you're forgiven. The rest, you get calibrated. You move into union with Christ. Christ introduces you to the Father. When he introduces you to the Father, it's on. John 17, verse 13. And now I come to thee, Father. Now he's coming to the Father. Amen. And these things I speak in the world that they might have what? My joy. Say my joy. Fulfilled in themselves. Speaking of you, he wanted his joy. Now that not just his joy, joy. That was his joy. That was his pleasure. That was what was everything to Christ, was being in the presence of the Father. He wanted to share that with you. In order to share it with you, he had to get you positioned where he was in the Spirit. He had to get you in the right hand of God. He had to get you in the presence. Listen, sin separated man. The Father couldn't just come down and say hi and kiss man. There was a separation by nature. God couldn't just come in anymore. God made covenant and he got up real close to him in the wilderness. And he wanted to inhabit in their tent. God wants to be with you. He wants to be in you. He wants to live with you. When his glory, he got upset with him in the wilderness. He goes, look, I'm going to fulfill my promises, Moses. I'll send my presence with you. You go on. He goes, but I'm not going. I'm just sending my presence. And Moses knew God was hot. He pitched the tent way out, away from the people. And he went to make intercession. And he turned God that day from being mad to glad. And then he asked him to show him his glory. And then God took him up to the mountain. See, in the tabernacles, when you enter in, it's in the mountain is where God's glory is. You got to get up high with him. You ascend at every level. You're going up, 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 up. Amen? You're going up into the glory. If you take the divine design, move through rest, move through union, once you hit the Father's love, it'll elevate you to everything. It opens you to everything. Oh, when he said you're dead to the world in Colossians 3:3, he said you're dead to the world, but your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. That's a brand new revelation, because when you start living in this realm, you will lose everything to be there. Nothing will stand in your way. Not an excuse from man or the world will get in your way. You will make the time. Because not always is it important, it becomes your life. It becomes everything. It's all things. You have to win out. The battle is faith. Utilize your faith to move into the things of God. And your faith will automatically receive the things of God. Amen? Now go to John 4. Revival is in that realm of glory. Power is in that realm of glory. Your healing is in that realm of glory. Generational inheritance is in that realm of glory. Omniscience, wisdom's house, omnipotence, dominion, all of it. It's all up in there. It's all ours. See, why is it so hard? Well, I'm going to answer that. It's hard when faith has not triumphed. Once faith triumphs, it's not that hard. You'll be amazed how much God you can contain in 1 hour. 1 hour, how much of God you'll be able to contain once your faith travels. The hard part is utilizing faith to move in a spiritual kingdom, because in Him we live and move and have our being. You're having to readjust because you have to acclimate from a natural world to a spiritual world, and you have to learn how to move in a spiritual world, and there are certain things that you have to learn. There's certain tools you're going to have, and you're going to have to understand how faith works and moving in faith. You have to redefine what you believe about faith and let faith move you up in there, amen? But once you start moving, you get in a roll. You can roll right into those places. What stopped you out before won't stop you out anymore. You'll roll right through it. You got to be persistent. Yes, yeah, sometimes there's a leap to understand some things. And when the light comes on, your spirit can move into that dimension. See, we want the light to come on to that. Well, see, just tell me the first thing I can do. Practice entering into that door. Because until you get to that door, Jesus said, I am the door. If by me any man enters in, he'll go in and out. You got to learn how to go in and out. If you don't get through the door, all of that is irrelevant to you. Unless you like your present prayer life and you're getting all the results you need, you don't need any more. John 4, verse 7, the woman of Samaria. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw near. Now notice just what Jesus said in her. God is talking to this woman. Notice what he says, give me to drink. 4,000 years God waited for that. Since the days of Adam, God could not drink from the worship of his people the way he wanted to, because they were cut off. And when he was sitting at that well, that was more than asking for water. He said, I'll give you water, but I want water too. I'll give you drink, but you give me drink as well. And they're going to get into discourse about worship here. And you look at verse 20. This woman, after the Lord told her, you had 5 husbands and the one you have right now is not your husband. And she goes, oh, I perceive you're a prophet. Not the average man she met at the well. Verse 20, she says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, Samaria. And you say that Jerusalem's the place where men ought to worship. In verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain in Samaria or Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, you have to understand the whole Old Testament, when they wanted to worship the Father, they all went to Jerusalem. Blessed are the man whose heart is in the pathways of Zion. See, when they would go worship the Father, they had to go and make sacrifice, and they had to go to Jerusalem. See, they would go into the temple, make journeys where they would go and meet with God. And he said, it's no more in this mountain or in Jerusalem where you worship the Father. For you worship, you don't know what you worship. He's telling her, you don't even know what you worship. But we know it. We worship for salvation of the Jews. So he said, but the hour cometh and now is, the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Look at this. In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him. Notice this word must. Say must. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? God seeketh, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. There's 3 things that are going to move the Father. Faith, worship, and honoring the Son. Those 3 things right there will draw the Father to you like a magnet. I don't know if you've figured this out yet. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. The Father has to give the ultimate command for the release of anything out of heaven to you. Amen? True worshipers, it's not anymore in this location or that location. God's a spirit. We shift now. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit. You worship him where he is. That's the part of going through that door. Because when you go through that door, you're not in this jurisdiction anymore. You're in his jurisdiction. In truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Say the truth and the life. See, when you come up through the Son, You come up through him, you're going to find an opening. Everything's done by faith. Before I even worship the Father, I utilize faith to go through the door, faith to get to the rest, faith to enter into union, faith to enter into the abiding place of the Father. And then worship begins. Perfect love begins. Divine fellowship begins. That's when the Father comes and goes. That's when he starts filling you up. That's the place he fills you up. Worship is a place. You got to get positioned in the Father. Love comes from the Father in a most tangible way, but you got to get in the presence of it. Blessed is a man whose heart are the highways of Zion. In the old, they would go to where he was. It's no different in the new. We go to where he is. He sit at the right hand of the Father. That's where we got to be. And when you get there is when the perfect love begins. The wholeness of God begins. I'm only telling you things because I'm exploring them to help you find your compass in there. It's a really personal thing, but it's a glorious thing. It opens you. Why? One of the things I found, he opens you so up. He opens you to the realm of his glory. He opens you to the realm of faith. He opens you to the realm of the inheritance. There's only one thing he's having me work on right now, because Anna goes, well, how do you choose which one of those seats you sit in? I said, it's the same seat. The Holy Spirit really does all the directing. He's still your usher. He's still doing the directing. He's still the one leading you. Amen. He's the one making adjustments there, teaching you protocol there. Amen. One of the things he's telling me more than anything, don't get in a hurry. He keeps telling me, I say, we are not in a hurry up here. You can't bring a hurry anointing up there. You won't get anywhere. Not very long. You can't bring that up there. It's okay if you come up with it, but it's got to stop at the place called rest. You're not going to hurry up in the Father. If you notice God, you have not been able to hurry him up. There's nobody gets to hurry him up. He doesn't get hurried up by anybody. Hey, come on, let's go, God, come on. It doesn't work that way. You know, one of the big things about God is wait. Wait. Now, how about this? Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, the way we look at that is like, love is patient. Oh my, I got all these trials to learn patience. Do you know there is patience? This is going to throw you one integrated in the love of the Father. That when he loves you, you don't have to learn patience all your life through one test and trial after another. Patience is integrated in the Father's love. Humility is integrated in the Father's love. True humility. Purity, wholeness. Kindness, a love that does not vaunt itself, all that's integrated into his love. When he loves you, you come out with a little more patience. You come out handling things differently. You come out seeing things differently, experiencing things, responding differently. Your first two times you might not, but the more you come out, things will come at you and he just blows right by you. You got a little more patience because you've been with God. And the more that you get, you're going to come out with his image. You're going to come out with his likeness. And you're going to come out with power for this generation. The Lord said it's not power first, it's love first. It's not riches first, it's love first. Because riches and power will corrupt without the love of the Father. It's love first. We go in there, it's all he wants to do is his love. I'm like, I want to be loved. I need to be like, let me tell you something about this, about the love of the Father. The more you get, the more you need. The more you get, the more not just you want, the more you need. You recognize your great need to be loved. Nobody can love you like the Father. The Lord even said, he goes, the Father's greater than I. Nobody can love you like him. It's his great love. It's God is love. You come out burning. Burning with pure love. And you're like, I want more, God. I like this a lot. I want more. I want to come back into his heart. He made you one with him in Christ. When you're in union with Christ, Christ is in the Father. He automatically delivers you into the Father, and it just erupts. It just begins. Worship is no longer, I worship you, God. Listen, when you're riding in with a song every day, that song is not going to keep delivering you to the same place. I don't know if you figure that out after a while. The song can deliver you by the anointing that's on it, but you got to go get another song. And even that, when you keep going by that route, what happens? It gets leveled out because you got to go in by faith. When you go in by faith, you're going to get delivered every day to that point. Every day, it's going to become easy for you. Because faith went through the pathway. You walk by faith in there. Amen. Get positioned in the love of the Father. He's telling me everything you want is coming through the love of the Father. Everything you've asked for, everything you want, it's going to come through his love. You got to go through his love to get it. You're going to spend a lot less time hitting the wall and a lot more time moving into the things of God so you can move from glory to glory. Because God's going to get a generation of sons and daughters that are going to move into his fullness in this last hour. They're going to move from glory to glory and nothing's going to stop them. No more yo-yo Christianity. No more hitting the wall and coming back down. Hitting the wall, well, I was up in his glory last week, but now I'm down here in the valley, in the wilderness. No! We're moving out of the wilderness. We are moving into the promised land. That is our promised land. That is it. It's there. It's full. It's everything. It's awesome. It's contagious. And it's easy to move through once you start moving by faith in there. God has a way about him. Amen? A more excellent way. God moves in. There's things that govern his kingdom. When you get in line with that government, you just move in there. Amen? But there's one seat, and I want to share this with you. In Intercessions Tuesday, I'm going to be sharing this. There's one seat that I consistently go into, and it's the seat that he called daily manna. Even in the Lord's Prayer, what was it? Our Father which art in heaven. There's a whole lot in that verse right there. It's our Father. You're going to get to know him as Father. Which art in heaven, hallowed be the name. You're going to worship him where he is, the way he wants to be worshiped, and he's going to love you the way he wants to love you. Listen, God wants to love us with the love that he has. But you got to be in his presence to get it consistently. And it's unconditional. You don't have to be perfect going in there. Just got to understand some things of the protocol. But there's a seat that he's working on right now. It's called the seat of daily manna. It sits in the riches and glory. Daily manna. Even in the wilderness. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Even when they were rebellious, God still gave them bread for 40 years. Never failed to give them bread on a daily basis out of heaven. Your bread is still coming out of heaven. He just put it up in heaven and gave you. The difference is he doesn't rain it down. He calls you up. That's the only thing. But it's still there. Wisdom's still preparing her house. She's still preparing the table every day. God says, give us this day our daily bread. He has daily manna apportioned to you. Manna, provision, fullness. When your job doesn't meet and the bills and the ends doesn't meet, God has manna for you. When you're out of work, God has manna for you. When your ministry's flowing and the finances are not coming in, God's got manna. He's got food coming. He's got manna. Clothing, food, fullness. When in your Father's love, it's not like, oh, I'm going to give you a little bitty bag here. There's your grocery bag. It's full. It's complete. God might call you to do something great, and you might find out that what you've been doing is not enough to carry what God's about to do. When revival hits, it's no longer a $300,000 a year budget. It's a $3 million a year budget. It's a $30 million a year budget. You better know how to believe God, because when the revival is constant need, I mean, because the need. And every revivalist, most every one of them,
move, they have to, into the doctrines. And they spend a lot of their service with the money situation because it becomes overwhelming very fast. You study them. But God has manna. Say, God has manna. God wants us to learn how to receive His manna. He's got little manna and He's got big manna. He's got manna for the little mind and He's got manna for the big mind. He's got manna for the little heart and He's got manna for the big heart. He's got manna for the little vision. He's got manna for the big vision. Daily manna is daily. It's substance for daily living. And it's abundance. When I was caught in the Father's love, I saw a river of abundance just filling this place. It was abundance. It wasn't like, oh, you can have this little scrap here today. It was abundant. It was full. Running over. Because God, my cup is running over. He said, it hadn't even begun to run over. We're just getting started. Your heart should be running over with the glory and the love of God. When you start running over, heaven's going to start flowing into the earth. Because you're going to walk in here and you're going to flow over in abundance. My cup runneth over. You know what? We're dried up. Not you, but these other churches. We're dried up and we're trying to get a revival. We don't even have a cup of water in us yet. God wants to give you a barrel. Some of you wanting to come out, just give me a cup for my manna. And others, give me a barrel for my manna. I need a barrel. I need 10 of those barrels. I got a healthy appetite. I got a strong appetite. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I know where to drink now. I know how to get where He is. I want to get up in His love every day. I got a big old appetite. Satisfy me, God. And then sit me down in manna, clothe me, feed me, fill me. I mean, take it back there and release it into the hands of the Holy Spirit. We get rivers of provision rolling, rivers of increase rolling, blessings rolling. Every one of us are going to roll in the blessings. Say, roll, baby, roll. Tommy, what's that you saying about manna? This is Tommy. He's awesome.
In Exodus, when it talks about daily manna, it says those who had a big appetite gathered more, and then they consumed all of it in that day. And those that had a small appetite took a small amount, and they consumed that and were not hungry. They were filled. But those who tried to take some and not go back and get it the next day, when they woke up in the morning, it was spoiled and it stank and full of worms. But no matter how big their appetite was, as long as they consumed it for today, what they were given for that day was for that day.
Isn't that good?
God knows your appetite. Listen, your need is not going to move God because it already moved Him. He's already provided your need. So you think because your need, it's going to move God. Look around. If need moved God, there'd be no poverty in the earth. It already moved Him. He already supplied everyone's need. There's a fullness there. And it's ours. He didn't just say, give us this day our daily bread just to get daily bread, just to say it. He wanted the exchange. And He has it for you. Wisdom prepares that table. And you got to go get it. Listen, you could have sat in your tent. That manna rained down every day. They could have sat in their tent. Well, you know, God will bring it to me. If you didn't go gather it, you didn't get it. And you gathered according to the appetite of you and your household. Everybody say, this household got a big appetite. I want to take all the nation's manna and just download it right here. He's got enough. Say, He's got enough. You know the glorious thing? In the manna, I am receiving these massive... And I'm getting down and releasing them, and it hadn't started manifesting yet. I said, well, then something's wrong. No. The pathway of rest is opened by faith. The pathway of union's been opened by faith. The pathway of the Father's been opened by faith. The pathway to see the man is opened by faith. We're just finishing this pathway down here. These pathways have got to open too, but it's all going to flow. Just like it did with the Lord. He said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get out of the wheelchair? Which is easier? Pray for the Father's manna or get this person out of the wheelchair? It's all going to be the same. But the pathway's open. Do I look like anybody that's going to quit anytime soon?
Do you look like anybody's going to quit anytime soon? There's a reason we've been tested as a body. You're looking on how to, the pathway of the kingdom of God, how to get the fullness of God. Oh, get me some manna. See, it doesn't matter because the next day I can just go get me some more. This is going to day I'm going to come down here, and here's the beauty of it. I'm going to walk down there. I'm going to release and decree, and it's going to manifest. And when it does, the pathway's been open. And when it's open, do you know the glory of being able to pray to a father that day and receive the answer that day, every day? To have the father answer the prayer the day you pray it? Instead of praying, and well, he's going to answer, you know, you got to get in faith 365 days. Got to say it 10,000 times before it happens. No, I just, and you know what? You'll stand there and he'll do the same thing tomorrow. That's our inheritance. That's the system of God. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me to tell you this morning early. He said, tell them, whether they think they need this or not, there are days coming upon the earth in the last days that my people must learn how to receive from me. And they better learn to do it now, or they're going to get panicked when things happen. But those who know how to receive from me, not only are they going to live in peace, they're going to be the solution to the world. They're going to become the Joseph to the world because they know where the endless supply of corn is. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah! Don't give up. Don't quit. You might hit a wall when you get in there. It might not be glorious your first times in there, but keep going. Get into the website and find out how to move in these dimensions. Break in. Your faith will triumph. The ultimate goal is to literally move by faith fluidly through all of these places without any hindrance. There is a day coming when someone's going to get out of the wheelchair, and I'm going to say, you know how easy that is for the Lord to do that? Blind eyes are going to forge and form, and oh, we're going to look at me, you know how easy it is for the Lord to do that? Because it's all about pathways. It's all about the love of the Father sitting you down in the seat of power. And like Peter says, silver and gold I don't have right now, but what I've got, I give, see. Peter didn't heal that guy. He just carried it down. He was carrying the glory the Holy Spirit utilized to bring that man out of the chair. Amen.